Senator Woodsum, Representative Barry, distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on Energy, Utilities, and Technology. My name is Jake Ward. I work for the University of Maine. I'm from Hamden, Maine. I also am the university's representative on Maine Aquaventus. And for most people in the public and on Monhegan, I am the face of MAV. I've provided a written testimony, but it's reiterative of many, many points. What I'd like to say is many of the questions that you are answering is in the documentation of what got us here today. The test site selection, the LD 1465 legislation, the court case, the permitting process, the Department of Energy selection, the future environmental assessment, there is a rigorous process that we have to go through to build this project. And we are just in the early stages of that process. People have referenced the earlier EA. We had to start from scratch. And so while a lot of our studies that have been done may be applicable to the future EA, that is something that the Department of Energy and regulatory agencies review and then assess and decide if we need to do additional studies. There are additional visualization studies planned, audio studios, sound studies, historic preservation. They're all part of the permitting process, and it's a rigorous process. I'm also the person who has been interacting most with the Monhegan Energy Task Force, along with my colleague Nate Johnson, who is helping us with the outreach, along with the community benefit agreement, and along with the Monhegan fishermen. So we are in the middle of a very good and solid process that has come together to really understand what Monhegan needs and how our project and our resources can help best support that. I would also like to just volunteer that in our proposal, there's nothing in any of these statutes, these regulations, that say that require a community benefit. There's no requirement for that at all. It was something that we originally proposed as a cable and power provision benefit, and is something that we have been working through with Monhegan to help understand what their needs are as an alternative. As a university program, we come to this really with the future of the state in mind. We're not taking this on as a big money-making development grab, but certainly if we are all successful, everybody should benefit. Thank you.
Representative Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There was some conflicting testimony earlier about whether or not the cable was going to be put under in a trench. So I'd like you to clarify what the plan is.
So that's a great question, and I wish I could give you the answer. And that's probably why there's some conflicting. Right now, our proposal is to run the cable from Monhegan through an existing chartered cableway that runs from Monhegan to Port Clyde. There is previously a communication cable in that line, and further closer towards Port Clyde, there are several power cables that also run in or near that cableway. What we will be doing over the next few months is doing an oceanographic survey, looking at that whole route, and looking at where we can actually lay the cable within that pathway and where it can be buried. Wherever it can be buried, the standards for laying oceanographic cables are to bury it 3 to 6 feet deep, depending on water depth. Where it cannot be buried and it'll be laid over hard bottom, then it is either pinned to the bottom or ballasted with rocks from the area.
I guess I just want to ask if there are any other tangible, you know, if the technology proves effective, well, if the permitting goes through, if the project is built, if the technology proves effective, are there any other sort of long-term, I mean, I think we all understand sort of somewhat the environmental benefit, but other economic benefits to the state of Maine?
Well, certainly the biggest thing that I mean, this whole technology was designed so that Maine could build them, produce them, sell the units, generate power. One of the things that we did early on, when all the test siting started out, we didn't even have UMaine didn't have a project. We put the task to evaluate all the other technologies out there. And a lot of those technologies were things that would probably not work in the Maine environment. We tested a whole bunch of 1/50th scale models, but also could not be built locally because they relied on materials that were cheaper someplace else. Steel in the United States is not the cheapest material. By going to a floating concrete hull, a unique design that was designed to be fabricated in Maine, Maine companies can do it. In this case, Chimbrow will be our contractor, the builder of this. That gives us a chance to build them locally and use them locally. The fact that it's a floating technology also opens the door to additional opportunities. By building them on land, you reduce the overall cost, you reduce the impact of building in the environment, you don't have jack-up barges, you're not driving piles into the bottom at sea. Then you have the ability to build these on land and tow them to the eventual site where you go. So that also opens up the deeper water opportunities, and it allows Maine to participate in the construction of technology that could be deployed in other places in New England. Currently, the lease blocks in Massachusetts and New York are also areas that are under consideration development, and there are portions of those that are deep water where bottom-mounted technology would not be accessible.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions,
great.
Thank you for your testimony.